He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue freed. He began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become?" For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and has redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and he has remembered his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our ancestor David, to grant us that we may be rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all the days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, and you will go before the Lord, prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, this morning I want to speak to you about Zechariah and Joseph. Now, so far I've talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, Elizabeth and Mary. And so today we turn to the gentleman, we'll turn to Zechariah and Joseph. Now, Joseph was not mentioned in this passage because Joseph, his story is told from Matthew's gospel. And so for the sake of time, I want to save him till I get finished with Zechariah here. So to kind of backtrack what's going on with Zechariah, you may recall two Sundays ago, Zechariah was in the temple. He got his name drawn on the hat, if you will, to burn the incense for the Lord. He goes in, and he's supposed to be there by himself, and he gets a surprise visit. Gabriel appears and says, "Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. You and your wife will have a son. Name him John. Here's a few ground rules. No strong drinks for this child, for he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this child's job is to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. To do as the prophet Malachi said, to come in the spirit of Elijah, changing the hearts of the fathers and the sons." And Zechariah, being the great man of faith he was, said, "Well, how can this happen? I'm old, and my wife, she's old too, you know." And Gabriel gets very upset with this and said, "Now look, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord, and he's the one who sent me to you this message. But because you didn't believe, you will not be able to speak until all this has happened." And Gabriel leaves. Well, meanwhile, outside the temple, the people were there wondering, "No, what's going on with Zach? Is he okay? Did he have a heart attack? No, did he break his leg? Did he break a hip?" And then we go check on him. He comes out, and he's unable to speak. And maybe our friend Clint came out and kind of reenacted that for us, the whole sign language about seeing the angel and his wife having the baby. He goes home. Liz becomes pregnant, and she goes in social isolation for several months and says, "The Lord has been good to me." Well, then 6 months later, down in Nazareth, over in Galilee, Mary gets a visit from the angel. She gets told, "He shall be great, be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord your God, give him the throne of his ancestor David, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary says, "Well, you know, now how is this going to be? You know, she doesn't doubt, but she has a curious, like, when is this child going to be conceived and born, you know?" And the angel explains to her, "You know, the Spirit of the Most High shall overshadow you, and a child will be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and shall be called holy, and shall be called the Son of God." And Mary said, "Let it be unto me as the Lord's will. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." So she responded in faith. And so Mary thought, well, maybe I need to go check out Cousin Elizabeth, pay her a little visit. So she gets the next caravan, goes up to Judea in the hill country, calls on Cousin Elizabeth. And when she sees Elizabeth, she goes, Elizabeth, looks like Mary. And when Elizabeth hears her name called by Mary, the unborn John the Baptist leaps in his mother's womb for joy. And Elizabeth says, now here am I, that the mother of my Lord should come and pay me a visit. And Mary breaks out in the song, how my soul doth magnify the Lord, my heart rejoices in God my Savior, for the mighty one has done great things. And so Mary stays with Elizabeth until the birth of John the Baptist. Okay? So this is where our story picks up. And so we have where the baby's born here, and all the neighbors and relatives come by, and they're all excited that the Lord had mercy on Elizabeth all these years, must have a child, and they're all excited for her. And then, being the good Jewish household they are, on the eighth day, they're ready to circumcise the child. And the family relatives are going to name him Zachariah Jr., right, after his dad. And Elizabeth says, no, he's to be called John. And they said to her, well, none of your relatives have that name. And so they motioned to the father to find out what name he wanted to give them. Now, I find this kind of comical on several levels, okay? One, they asked the mom who gave birth, the name of the child. She said, John. They said, we don't like that name. And so they go talk to the dad. That sounds like a trick, you play when you're a kid. Like, you ask mom, of a sudden she says no, and think, well, I'll ask dad, so you get the yes. And hopefully he and mom won't compare notes, I'm sure that has never happened to any of the kids in this church, right? A little double dipping there. And then it also makes me choke because, in the Womack household, my great-grandfather was a Michael Thomas Womack, okay? So Michael Thomas Womack, he has a son, one of the younger sons, Henry Arnold Womack. At the end of Christmas Day, 1944, he has a son and names him Sterling Thomas Womack, my dad. And my dad's named after his two of his grandparents, named after Thomas Michael Womack and Sterling Fremont Parkinson. Okay? And they built them together and got his name. Very diplomatic. So, fast forward to 1981, the Reagan era, okay? Go from Roosevelt to Ronald Reagan. I come along. And my mom wants to name me Thomas after my dad, okay? And my dad says no. Why? Because there are too many Tom Womacks in McMinn County as there are. And he was right. There's a bunch of them. So mom goes back to the drawing board. And the closest thing she can come up to a Tom Womack is a Tim Womack. So thus, being named Thomas, I was named Timothy, okay? And now I actually have an update to that little story. So, more recently, my sister has a little baby boy now, and the birth mother asked for the name Noah, okay? So, we've got Noah, last name Ely. What's going to be the middle name? And I heard that Thomas was being kicked around, and I heard my sister liked it, my brother-in-law didn't like it, and I texted, and I said, oh, by the way, dad's named after his grandfather, Thomas Michael Womack. You might want to think about that because I knew my brother-in-law, his dad was Mike Womack. I thought, there we go, Thomas and Michael, put them together. You got both sides of the family represented. And so, anyway, his middle name is Thomas, and they took a vote on it. And so my brother-in-law apparently voted no. My sister voted for Thomas. And then they asked Josiah, my nephew, and he voted Thomas. Now, the reason he liked Thomas was anything about to do with the Bible or his grandparents or great-great-grandparents. He voted for Thomas because there's a certain character he really likes called Thomas the Engine. All right, yeah. That's why he voted for Thomas. And my brother-in-law said, well, that's not fair. But, it was two against one at that point. So he was out of luck. Okay. And I try my best to go for Michael Thomas and don't make everybody happy, but, you know, it's not my kid. So they go to old Zachariah. So, Zachariah, you know, what are you going to name this kid? And Zachariah does a sign language, Clint, and says, no, give me something to write with. And then he goes, okay. And his name shall be John. And John is the Greek version of the good Hebrew name Jonah, okay? And then they're all like, what? You're going to name him John? Jonah? You know, what's up with that? And immediately, old Zechariah can speak. And from verses 68 to 79, Zechariah sings a song of praise. Now, think about that. If you couldn't speak for 9 whole months, and all once you could, what'd you be doing? You'd be singing and praising God. You'd be singing Amazing Grace, every hymn in the hymn book. You'd be on the phone talking to all your friends. You wouldn't be able to shut up. And I remember last year we had came out of the movie theater from seeing the movie The Star. And Cadence made a comment. She said, you know, I now understand that scene. Because I always thought it was this nice old man or woman at the birthday party, at the wedding. And then I realized that was Zechariah and Elizabeth. I said, and now I get that when Elizabeth says, now we can't get Zechariah to shut up. You know, there's a little joke they threw in there, you know, if you didn't know your Bible, you might not have got it. Well, Zechariah breaks down the song. He says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He's looked down upon his people. He has raised up to save him from the house of David, as he's promised to our prophets, someone who has saved us from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us. He has shown mercy from our ancestors. He is remembered his holy covenant, his promise. They swore to Abraham. Remember, God promised Abraham. Abraham, I will make you the father of many nations. Excuse me. I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and through you all nations shall be blessed. That we may be rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days. And then I like this part. You almost see Zechariah picking up John the Baptist. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge and salvation to his people, by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. You know, there's a movie, Robert Duvall, called Tender Mercies, I really like. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those in darkness and the shadow of death. You know, at Christmas, we light all these candles and the tree and the Star of David about light conquering darkness to guide our feet into the way of peace. So you're talking about a happy situation here going on. Now, for Mary, though, she has a small problem. Mary has been in Judea, outside Jerusalem, for about 3 months. And now she has to go back to Nazareth. And she and her parents and Joseph have to have a little talk. Imagine the awkward conversation that is. And this is where Matthew's gospel comes in at. Matthew 1, verse 18 tells us, and now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. Now, sometimes you'll hear the atheist crowd say, the reason those early Christians believe in the virgin birth, because they didn't know where babies came from. Well, Joseph knew where babies came from. That wasn't the problem. The problem was he knew where babies came from. And from his point of view, it looked like his fiancée went up to Jerusalem, to Judea, and came back 3 months pregnant. Now what? And Joseph could have had a big trial and called off the wedding there and such. But Joseph was a good man. And from his point of view, he thought, well, Mary made a mistake, and she's trying to live this mistake and live with the consequences. But there's no need of me punishing her and humiliating her any further than she has to be. So I'm going to just call off the wedding quietly and just be done with it, and I'm just going to move on with it. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And this is Isaiah. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son and named him Jesus. Now, when you look at Matthew chapter 1 and Joseph's family tree, Joseph's father is Jacob. Okay? Now, think way back to Genesis. You remember Jacob had a son named Joseph. Remember, Joseph had the coat of many colors. And Joseph would have dreams about the future. Well, guess what happens in Matthew? You have a guy named Jacob who has a son named Joseph, and this Joseph is also having dreams. And in this dream, the angel tells Joseph, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. She can go up to Jerusalem and have some fling, some immorality, or make a bad decision. This child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. But he will save his people from their sins. Excuse me. And so Joseph wakes up, and he doesn't. You know, we don't have any words from Joseph. Joseph is always a man of action. He doesn't say anything, but he's always looking out for his family. And thus, Joseph becomes the most famous stepfather in all of history. He takes on the responsibility of providing for the Son of God and for his mother. Zechariah, when his child is born, he can't hush up. He goes on for verses and verses. You know? And it's important that in the Christmas story that we remember that it's important that we both sing our praises to the Lord like we did a few while ago when we were singing the angels we have heard on high and you know, O come all ye faithful. But it's also important that as men of church, we are taking care of our families, our parents, our children, nieces and nephews, need be, taking care of our neighbor. Be like Joseph. Joseph didn't ask what was best for him. He said, no, what can I do that's best for Mary? And he said, that's divorce her quietly. Break off the engagement. But then when God told him the full story, he said, all right, what I need to do now is I'm going to marry Mary, and I'm going to raise her child. I will be his father. I will take care of him. And so what about us? When God calls us to task, are we going to be like Zechariah? And question it, and then let her rejoice about it. Or we won't be like Joseph. We won't be kind of, when we face a situation, we won't pray, think about it. And then when God gives us instructions, yes, Lord, her child will be my child. I will help raise the Son of God. That is the story of Zechariah and Joseph. The willingness to rejoice the birth of your son, who is a forerunner. And the willingness to take on the task of raising the Son of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.